Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Common Fans, what's more Nebraskan than football and beef? Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-age beef straight to your front door. Whether you're stocking the freezer, grilling for game day, or looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef delivers. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com and taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry-age beef. Also, make sure to get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe for the free newsletter. Subscribe on YouTube. Like this episode. Follow all the social media accounts and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Very excited about today's guest. Jake Butt was an all Big Ten tight end. At Michigan, left Ann Arbor as Michigan's all-time leading receiver in yards by a tight end and the program's record holder for career receptions by a tight end. Jake, you were at Michigan from 2013 to 2016, highly recruited out of high school. The obvious question here is, why didn't you go to Nebraska?
That's a good question. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Pickerington on the east side of Columbus. I was 15 minutes from Ohio State's campus.
Wow.
And the fun fact is I grew up a diehard Buckeye fan. My grandfather played for Frank Leahy at Notre Dame
in
the 40s. So my second team was the Irish. And actually, my grandfather is in Ripley's, believe it or not, never lost a game from seventh grade all the way through college. The worst he ever did was tie. Had two national titles there at Notre Dame. So my two teams growing up are two of Michigan's biggest rivals, but I wasn't offered by either team.
Wow.
So I ended up there.
You ultimately betrayed your family twice, I feel like.
Well, I say it the other way. I felt betrayed by them at the time.
There you go.
Notre Dame didn't offer me an Ohio State.
There you go.
Here's another fun fact for you. The tight end coach at the time, my sophomore year, his name was Tim Hinton. He was the tight end coach at Notre Dame. Then my junior year, he becomes the tight end coach at Ohio State. And obviously, sophomore, junior year are your biggest years to be recruited. Well, in high school, I used to go around and knock on doors and mow lawns. So my junior year, I'm mowing lawns, and there's this one lady, the sweetest lady ever. She would always give me extra money. She was so proud of me for having a good work ethic. Well, then one day as I'm mowing the lawn, this blacked out Suburban Chevy Tahoe pulls in and out walks Tim Hinton. Turned out I've been mowing Tim Hinton's lawn for like the past 6 months. Isn't that the exact type of character of a guy you would offer a scholarship to?
100%.
You would think, Jake.
Yep.
You would think.
So I don't know where Tim Hinton is right now, but
he's still at Ohio State.
Clearly a poor evaluator of talent. Okay, well, he's in the
list. You want to talk to one more?
What do we got here?
He's not here.
Reaching in the Wayback Machine.
Getting up, listeners.
This is the John Mackey Award. So I won the John Mackey Award my senior year at Michigan for the nation's top tight end. So we go to the award show down in Atlanta, and the award show's Thursday night. Okay, I'll preface this by saying this is in 2016. So this is my senior year. I told you I'm a Columbus kid. I go on the road to play Ohio State, and that was the double overtime loss when we lost to Ohio State. The JT was short game. Heartbreaking, we lose to Urban Meyer. So I win the John Mackey Award. I go down to Atlanta for the award show. We do the award show Thursday night. Michigan says, hey, be in the lobby at 7 a.m. We got to catch a shuttle to the airport, fly back to Ann Arbor, start bowl prep. So I get down there early at like 6:40. And it was early enough where there was only two other people in the lobby. There was the clerk behind the desk and there was Urban Meyer. And I had never talked to Urban because he was the one that didn't offer me a scholarship ultimately as the head coach. So I see him. He sees me. I say, hey, coach, how you doing? And I go post up against the wall. I start sweating. I'm beat red. I'm like, man, forget this guy. Not only didn't you offer me, I didn't beat you. So at like literally 2 seconds passes and he walks right up and he's an intense dude and puts his face right in my chest. He's like, why didn't you come to Ohio State? And I'm like, what? You didn't offer me a scholarship. He's like, what was it? Did you get in trouble? I'm like, no. He's like, were you a bad student? I'm like, I got into Michigan. And he's like, listen, man, you're a hell of a player. You used to give me nightmares. I'm glad we don't have to play you anymore. I wish you the best going forward. And I'm just like, I'm supposed to hate you, but that's kind of respect. Okay, cool. I appreciate it. And now we both work in the Fox family. He works for Fox, right? Big Noon. I'm Big Ten Network, and it's come full circle.
You ever seen the water cooler or the coffee machine, you know, at the, I know you're not actually probably all in an office together, maybe ever.
Yeah. I have to pretend that they are though. In my head, I think that'd be really funny.
Well, he does the coaching, the Urban analysis, the coaching breakdowns at Big Ten Network. So I've seen him a few times there. Yeah. And he's been complimented. I'm like actually friends with Urban these days. He's always like complimented me, and I do the same to him. So
nice.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
it's funny. Cool. It's funny how those those allegiances over time, they kind of, I don't want to say weaken, but you know, you kind of get softened up a little bit when you get to know somebody. Like for me, it's been like Rick Neuheisel, you know, Jerry's having all this success now. And I got misty eyed watching Rick's reaction when they beat, when Ohio, UCLA beat Penn State.
Yeah.
And him just talking about his son. I'm like, gosh, as a former Colorado Buffs coach, I should probably hate him. Yeah. But I don't. Like, I found myself liking Rick Neuheisel more and more and more as the years go by.
It's the human factor. The human factor. Right.
I guess so. Well, Jake, let's get into here Nebraska and USC and all that fun stuff. You've seen all these games. Nebraska's conference wins haven't always been particularly pretty. But, you know, here they are. They find themselves at 6-2 heading into November. You know, Husker fans we should be excited. What have you seen from Nebraska this year, and how would you assess Matt Rule's third year so far?
Well, I see a team that's clearly taken strides. I see a team that we were talking off air there just about perspective. 5 years ago, right around COVID, I think a lot of Husker fans would have died to get a season like this, you know, and I understand the frustrating part comes from knowing that there's more and knowing that a lot of the mistakes are self-inflicted. That's the frustrating part. But the key for me is, you know, these, and I know we live in an instant world, I'm a millennial and we want everything quickly now, but look at the program and say one score games. Those were guaranteed losses. Up until the bowl game. It started in the bowl game last year and it's bled over to this year. Turnovers, major, major issue. Clear strides there. Special teams, major, major issue. Special teams have not just been a net neutral. They've become a net positive and an emotional positive for the team. The program has taken clear, clear strides. I think what's disappointing and the area that Nebraska needs to continue to develop in is the trenches. Defensively, clearly you're missing Nash and Ty Robinson. You're missing those big bodies. And from an offensive line standpoint, you know, the sack numbers have been atrocious. That's not all on the offensive line. It's the running backs, and Dylan likes to hold onto the ball as well. But when you think about winning at the highest level, the Eagles, dominant D-line, O-line. Michigan, when they won, Joe Moore Award. Georgia, Joe Moore Award. Ohio State, their entire D-line gets drafted. O-line gets drafted. So the trenches are the next step for Nebraska to progress in.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Jake, I have a question for you. As far as, and you said improvements, one thing that we've definitely focused on is the quarterback position. And everybody, the world's got their eyes on Dylan Raiola. You get all the Patrick Mahomes comparisons for the longest time, blah, blah, blah. There's no doubt he's gotten better over the last year. We can all agree on that, I think. But if you live in this area here, there are some people, and myself included, could be a little bit more critical of the quarterback at this point. I'm just trying to get a feel of what people on the outside looking in think of Dylan Raiola right now, where he's at.
Well, I just, can you give me, what are you critical about? What are the keys?
So like throwing interceptions at really, really important times. He seems to bounce back and can like make, the weirdest thing is who he will make a crazy play out of nowhere to bounce back after a terrible, terrible play. Yeah. So I think some people are just worried, like consistency, I think is the thing. We're not seeing the deep balls down the field. We're just not seeing, I think, a lot of times what in my mind you think a five-star quarterback should be able to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I was on the call for the Maryland game. So what you're describing literally is the entirety of the Maryland game, and I get it. And I think it's like there's something poetic about it. Yeah, it's like a metaphor in a sense of like your biggest strength is sometimes your biggest weakness. And I think last year, what happens is quarterbacks, and Dylan's a great competitor, wants to win. So that means he's going to take risks and he's going to hang on to the ball and he's going to try to scramble around and make the perfect play. But sometimes that's going to come back to bite you in the butt. And the maturity comes when you start to understand, especially when you have a team that's capable of winning. Like team football wins you games. Understanding when it's appropriate to run around and try to make a play and understanding when it's appropriate to hit your check down or throw the ball away. To me, I still think Dylan is clearly in the top half of the conference of quarterback play. I would say definitely in the running of the top quarter of quarterback play. I think he's got a great arm. I know it's probably frustrating for Nebraska fans throwing off of his back foot and some of these throwing angles. Is it really necessary? I don't have a major issue with it. I love what Matt Rhule and the program did to surround him with talent in the transfer portal. Much bigger upgrade than a Penn State, for example. I mean, some of these guys that you guys brought in have been outstanding. The tight ends have stepped up. There's a lot for me to like about Dylan, but he has to understand what he's working with, especially the offensive line. Especially the running backs, you just at a certain point have to take command in ownership and get rid of the football. But how about like the lasting image I have, the Cincinnati game week one, that's when I felt something change. Fourth quarter when Dylan calls everybody up on the sideline. That leadership is a big reason why the team is winning these close games. And that's an important thing that can't be quantified with stats.
Yeah,
100%. So, Jake, I just want to point out, you mentioned that you're a millennial. We're a little older than you, but we're technically millennials. I just want to point
I hate that we fall on that cusp.
We're at the top end of the millennial generation, but I want Common Fan listeners to know that, okay?
Good. That's good to know. All right.
I know. I can tell it's very important for you. USC coming to town this weekend. We talk a lot on this show about the sinister organization known as the College Football Industrial Complex. It's basically the powers that be within college football that have been working against Nebraska's interests for basically a half a century. And of course, you know, USC gets to come into Lincoln off a bye week. The College Football Industrial Complex would never do Nebraska such a favor. USC comes in off a bye week, but they're 2-5 in road games since joining the Big Ten. Should be kind of chilly in Lincoln. It's a night game. The Huskers are doing a blackout, which, to be candid with you, Jake, is kind of a new thing for Nebraska. And if you believe social media, at least, there's kind of a division in the fan base, and some of the older fans don't.
Yeah, the non-millennials, TJ, are the ones
the non-millennials don't want to wear black. They want to wear red. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the blackout. But like every coach at the press conference, at their, you know, Rhule and the two coordinators this week at the various press conferences have been imploring the fans to be as loud as possible. I think it's going to be electric in Lincoln on Saturday night. How do you like Nebraska's chances against USC?
Oh, I love Nebraska's chances, but I also love USC's chances too. I think this is a really competitive football game. It's that time of year. We're approaching November. That game kicks off. It's going to be November by the time that, right?
Yep.
What's the date on Saturday? November 1st. So there you go. That's when that's championship football season. Like that's when the pretenders get separated from the contenders. And this game is going to be a huge revealing opportunity for really both programs. I understand the bye week talk, but perspective, Washington has played like the Huskies up there in the Pacific Northwest. I want to say like seven of their opponents have come off a bye. So it is what it is. It just is what it is. The key for this game, though, is, you know, everyone thinks about Lincoln Riley in a dominant passing game, and they certainly have that. And they got Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane and Maiava, their quarterback. Their run game has been much improved this year. It's their ability to be balanced. The one concern I have with Nebraska is their ability to stop the run, particularly in between the tackles. If they want to win this game, they have got to stop the run in between the tackles. And I think the flip side is true for their offense, especially losing, you know, you lost your right guard for the season or right tackle for the season. O-line's been beat up. Yada, yada, yada. I think Emin Johnson is one of the most underrated backs in all of college football. He is outstanding. You got to feed him. You got to ride him all the way for four quarters. I think sometimes with Dana and the play calling is, the Maryland game is a great example. You bring in Harburg and you're running the ball with Emin Johnson all the way down the field. And then you get in the red zone, you bring in Harburg and run a gadget play, and it just stops all momentum. I think you just feed Emmett as much as you possibly can in this game. The team that wins the line of scrimmage wins the game.
We have made that point many times, Jake.
100%. Yeah, you're speaking our language, Jake.
One thing, Jake, I want to love it. Respectfully, Jake, I feel like we're going to dominate USC. I came from a Notre Dame household, and Notre Dame broke USC's spirits a week and a half ago. So I think Nebraska dominates this game.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for that.
Notre
Dame did a favor for the Huskers. What do you want me to say?
Away from G off stupid Notre Dame references. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, now he and Jake have something in common from what it sounds like. He's Ohio State, Notre Dame, Jeff's Notre Dame and Nebraska. So there's a second team. Anyway, well, Jake, you mentioned a few of the USC guys, Lemon, and most Husker fans know about Jaden Maiava. Kind of a two-parter. What does USC do best, number one? And what are some areas Nebraska can maybe
It's not me, is it?
Matty O froze. Yeah, I think Matty O froze.
That's all right.
What does USC do best, and what areas can Nebraska exploit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, it's what USC does best. It's more just what Lincoln Riley does best. Lincoln Riley, the reason he gets the contract that he got is because of his offensive play calling. It's because of his creativity, and it's a layered complementary offense. Jaden Maiava is a Heisman contender, in my opinion. Obviously, he's not going to win it, but he's a dark horse. Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane that's one of the best wide receiver one and two duos in all of college football. They got great playmakers at the tight end position as well. So they can hurt you throwing the ball sideline to sideline. They can hurt you throwing the ball at all three levels, including the screen game. They completely dominated Michigan schematically, and Michigan's got an outstanding defense. They had the upper hand schematically, and Michigan never got settled in. And the big reason is, and this is what I think they do well, that's different from what we've seen with Lincoln since he got to USC, is their ability to run the football. If they can be complementary, you have to account for Lincoln's passing game and those concepts, but their ability to be complementary is what has made them different this year, in my opinion. I think Lincoln is his own worst enemy. At times, he just gets away from the run game. And if I'm the Trojans, understanding that's where Nebraska struggled, understanding you're going into a raucous road environment, if you run the ball, you can take the crowd out of it. So it's going to be, can Nebraska stop the run, or does Lincoln stop himself by getting away from the run? And then the thing that can be exploited, though, is the exact same thing on the other side. USC's defense has struggled stopping the run in between the tackles.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You just run right downhill. You don't need any sexy play calls. Maybe you can disguise it with some motions. You can attach a bubble screen out there, some smoke screens. I know that's been a big Hunter and Dane Key have been awesome with their screens, but run it right downhill. Feed Emmett Johnson would be the game plan, in my opinion.
Yes. That's red meat for common fans, Jake. Yeah, that's red meat right there.
We have been spouting that same campaign.
He's outstanding, man. Yeah, I mean, his highlights, he does everything well. Great in pass pro, great pass catcher. Matt Rhule and Holgorsen compared him to Christian McCaffrey in our meeting, and I'm like, oh, okay, slow down a little bit. But then some of those plays he made against Maryland, I'm like, oh, my God. Goodness.
Yeah.
You just got to feed him, man. You just have to feed him. And I know Emmett wants to be fed too. You just got to feed him in this game.
Love that. You mentioned, Jake, you mentioned Lincoln Riley. He's in his fourth year leading the USC program. They look to be improved this year, but each of the first 3 years leading this program, his record got worse compared to the year before. How would you assess the job Riley is doing in LA right now? Is he feeling any kind of pressure or hot seat type of vibes going on there, anything like that? Or is he looking?
What was the stat you said? Each of his 3 years, he got what was that stat?
So he looks to improve this year, but in each of his first 3 years leading the program, his record got worse compared to the year before, is the numbers that we pulled.
Okay. Yeah. And then what was the question?
So is there any hot seat or any concern there? I feel like the last year, Lincoln, there's been a lot of talks about him possibly being, you know, on the hot seat in USC, and we're just kind of curious.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
He went in 2022, they went 11-3, 23, they went 8-5, 24, they went 7-6. So,
again, okay. Yeah. That's a trend in the wrong direction. I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, that was a conversation for sure. It's like, hey, what's his contract? $100 million or something like that. And he's got private jet access and cars and houses and all this stuff. I think right now though, they've done enough where you can start to see that this program is beginning to turn a corner. I don't know if it's still true, but at one point they had the number one recruiting class in all of college football, which is, that's another forward looking statistic and a big positive for their program. And I think they've done enough, in my opinion, sitting at 6-2 right now to say, okay, like Lincoln's got USC back to where they're respected on a national level. But at some point, you know, you got to win these road games. Like there's something mental about it. It's not about X's and O's or talent. It's mental to win the road games. I don't think he's on a hot seat, but I'm looking at their schedule now on the road at Nebraska, obviously huge game for both programs and both coaches. Then you host Northwestern, host Iowa. Iowa is a sneaky, not even sneaky. If you've watched them, that's a damn good team. At Oregon, I mean, this is going to be a challenging stretch down the season for USC. They're 6-2. If they somehow finish 10-2, they're in the playoffs. But could I see them being 8-4? Yeah. You know, there's some tough, tough games down the stretch. So it's hard for me to say definitively. Maybe we can touch back around Christmas time or you know, the Big Ten champ game to say with more clarity.
Okay. So that you're saying you'll come back on again. We've done a good enough job.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'll hang out with you guys. Yeah. I have enjoyed covering this team. It's been fascinating to me. I think the players have clearly bought into the messaging of Matt Rhule. And when we did our camp tour, that was our first stop with Nebraska. And, you know, we're asking him the same things he's been asked 100 times. Like, coach, how do you win these one score games? How do you know when you're confident? He's like, he told the players, he's like, if for us to get where we all want to go collectively, you guys have to drive this thing. It has to be a player led team. I see that. Like, you get the halftime speeches. I think it was Ja'Cory Barney at the Maryland game, the Michigan State game. There's clear progress in buy-in, in my opinion, from the players. It feels like Nebraska has a chance to be a special season, but I don't think they've played the full 60-minute football game yet. Do you guys get that? No. I don't think they've played their best complete 60-minute game yet. I just want to see what happens when they do that.
We've said it, Jake, and it's always the first quarter and the fourth quarter that, you know, Nebraska's kicking butt. It's just you got to fill in the other two quarters and just have one complete game from start to finish.
Yeah. TJ called it, at least for the Northwestern game, called it the ugly middle. You know, it's like we talked about the first scoring drive, beautiful. Last scoring drive, beautiful. All that in between is like there needs to be more consistency, and we need to have more, you know, more drives, at least offensively, that look like those two.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and this seems like it's been a problem for Nebraska for years, but maybe it's just, you know, our personal bias, but it always seems like, okay, one game, the offense will lead the charge and they'll do great. The offense and the defense struggles, and then it'll flip and vice versa. It's like, okay, can we have one game of full complimentary football for four quarters?
But
and
again,
if they did that, they could be a really good team. They could just beat just about anybody in the country.
Well, absolutely. And again, like the special teams progress has been such an added bonus. They are not 6-2 right now if the special teams was playing even close to where they had been. I mean, what's the coach's name? Mike Eckler?
Yep.
He's been outstanding. And that is one of the biggest indicators of team culture and coaching overall, is just turn on the special teams tape. That it reveals a ton about where the football team's at. But I say, like, when you talk about the complete game, when we meet with coaches in our game prep, they all talk about the middle eight. The middle eight decides these games. And to me, it comes back to trench play is what allows you to control the game. Like, it's such a luxury as a play caller to just be able to call power right, power left, zone, duo. Hey, I don't need to send the house to stop the run because my defensive line and linebackers are going to win their gaps and tackle well. So to me, like, that's, and they're not bad. It's just like, it's not happening consistently for four quarters.
Right,
Jake. Yeah. I know you got to run. Maybe if you have time for like one or two more minutes.
Yeah, I do.
It seems like you've just based on even going back to the off season, based on some Twitter conversations and such, you have a lot of respect for sort of Nebraska as a program, Nebraska's history in college football, et cetera. You know, we've watched the Huskers going back, was it almost 15 years now? Whatever it's been. Really struggle in the time they've been in the Big Ten in particular. You know, do you think Matt Rhule's, like, do you feel good about Matt Rhule in modern day college, into 2025 college football? Big Ten's more competitive than ever. College football is better than ever. I will believe to my grave that you can win somebody can win in Lincoln. We can win again in Lincoln like we did in the past. We should never let go of that expectation. But just kind of curious from your take, like, how Nebraska, like, can Nebraska get back there and get up there with the Michigans and the Ohio States in the conference? And is that still important for college football?
Yes. The answer is yes to both questions. Yes, it's important to college football. Yes, it's important to the Big Ten Network, to Fox, CBS, and NBC from a rating standpoint, which, of course, is money that gets fed back into Nebraska and the rest of the conference. It's absolutely important. And in the question of can they get there is, yes, Indiana did it. And I think that what Cignetti is showing above all else is he has an unwavering standard. Like it's fascinating to listen to Cignetti talk. Like, he talked about when he comes to the school, like, it was dark and gloomy. They expected to lose. They expected to be average. And it's really, that is the foundation of everything you do, is like your mind and your perspective and just how you view yourself, your process, and your program. And he has just uprooted all that negativity and shifted it into unwavering belief. And it starts with himself. And I think that's what Matt Rhule does a good job of, that. And the program has taken strides, and these things do take time. The key is to consistently have great support coaches. Eckler, there's the biggest difference. You go from special teams here to special teams here. Special teams coach makes the difference. And that ends up being the equivalent of 7 to 10 points on any given week. And in a competitive Big Ten conference, that's the difference between winning and losing. It'll be true for your coordinators. I don't know how often Butler and Holgorsen stay. I think Holgorsen has done a good job. I thought that was a key get to keep him with Raiola this offseason. But the assistant coaches is going to be a key. I know this because of my time at Michigan. When I had 2 years with Brady Hoke and two with Jim Harbaugh, we went 7-6 my freshman year, 5-7 my sophomore year. Brady gets fired, in comes Jim, and we go back-to-back 10-win seasons. And in the before we ever played a snap, I knew it was going to be different because we went through spring ball, and I said, oh, this is what coaching looks like. Like, wow, we had actually never been coached, in my opinion, the prior 2 years offensively. So and that's what Cignetti has done with Haynes and Shanahan. I think they have like an $11 million support staff budget. Like he has great coaches supporting him. And I think Matt Rhule has done a good job of upgrading the coaching around him as well. And I got time for, I can go 5 more minutes if you want, TJ.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Great. All right. Well, let's, that was a great, love that answer. Thank you. Well, let's talk about, we had a couple more, like the current state of college football. And you've got LSU, Penn State, Florida, UCLA. I mean, it used to be very rare to fire your coach in season. It almost never happened. And now it's like the norm, right?
Yeah, it's like the playbook.
And it's so interesting because on one hand, everybody talks about, you just gave the Indiana example. There's so much parity in college football. Yep. Everybody's got money now. Everybody's investing in facilities and coaching and all of that. And it's harder to win than ever before. Mm-hmm. And yet, the firing of James Franklin continues to be insane to me. And so I don't know. I just would love to get your sort of comments on where we are in college football. Is it out of whack, especially on like sort of the coaching carousel? It feels like it's only going to get crazier.
Yeah. I don't think it's out of whack at all. And honestly, like I extend it to like, American finance and global finance. This is kind of just where we're at as a world, to be completely honest with you. Everything's crazy. Everything's inflated. Everything is volatile. Everything is, instant and hot takes. Like it's really just it's a societal product that college football is just following. The transfer portal. My wife's in sales. All my close friends are in sales. My dad has worked for the same company for 40 years. He takes our driveway, turns left on Refugee, right on 256, and he's at work, and he's done that for 40 years. All my friends in sales, they talk about, hey, I gotta work for this company for a year or two, and then I gotta bounce to the next company because that's how I grow my salary. Like that, this is just literally where we're at. It's not just football. And as far as like the coaching carousel goes, I think you do have to look at each situation independently. I have been a James Franklin defender up until this season. And the reason why I couldn't defend it is I thought James Franklin was the most fairly rated coach. His record versus top 5 and top 10 teams is what it was, but he wasn't favored in most of those games. And objectively just never had the better roster in most of those games as well. Of course, you would like to steal some, but they just played literally to their standard and expectation. The issue was this year is James had been vocal and outspoken about, hey, if you guys want me to take this program to the next level, this is what I need. I need more resources. Okay. You follow the exact same model that Ohio State and Michigan followed. You have a multi-million dollar quarterback, multi-million dollar backfield, multi-million dollar offensive line. You pay and upgrade the wide receiver room, multi-million dollars there, the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football. You bring all those guys back. James had been outspoken about, why is it that all of our whiteout games against Ohio State and Michigan, why are they always at noon? We need our biggest game to be at night. Okay, James, we'll give you the biggest game at night against Oregon in a game that you're favored and in a game that somehow you took the lead in, but you still lost. And the biggest issue is for James, and as a coach, you're responsible for this, his players regressed. Drew Aller got worse. Singleton got worse. The offensive line regressed. The wide receiver room production is not in alignment with the investment. The defense is not anywhere close to on par with the amount of spending of your coordinator, your staff, and your players. That's the issue. Brian Kelly clearly checked out. Like that decision had to be made. Florida, it's the same thing. So I think you got to look at each situation independently. There's been a lot of conversation about Sharon Moore in Ann Arbor. And sure, the USC loss was frustrating. The Oklahoma loss was frustrating. But you can't just say that. You have to say this is a young coach. You knew that when you hired Sharon. He's a first-time head coach replacing a gutted roster coming off a national championship. I see them trending, so you can support that. He made a tough decision and fired Kirk Campbell last year, brings in Chip Lindsey. That was a good decision. So you have to like look at each situation independently. And I think I hope for Nebraska and for college football that Matt Rhule stays and continues to build on the trajectory that he's been building here.
Amen.
Touche. You mentioned something about it real quick here, Jake. You mentioned the transfer portal. I know for years we've been talking about how it's the wild, wild west out there, and there's not a whole lot of, you know, safeguards or anything like that. It's great for players. They totally deserve to be able to get paid. They need to move around and find a good fit for them and do what's right for them financially, like you were alluding to. Or do you think there needs to be any limits on how often these players can transfer? Because I feel like they can just get up and go whenever they want to. Do you have any thoughts on how that's structured or what you think we should see or what you would like to see?
Yeah, I mean, probably there probably should, you know, but these things are like super complex, because I think a lot of this started because of the coaches. The coaches are the ones that did it first. You know, Brian Kelly, he leaves Notre Dame. I believe they were when Brian left Notre Dame, they were still in the playoff hunt at that point. I can't remember the exact situation, but had a few things happen. Notre Dame might have snuck in the playoffs, and he leaves and he sends a teamwork's message to his staff. So it's led by the coaches. What needs to ultimately happen, though, and I don't know how you do it because it's college, there needs to be a collectively bargained agreement. Like there has to be something where it's bargained and accepted by the players and the coaches and lawyers and all that stuff. That's the long-term situation, because the NCAA, they are just terrified of getting sued at this point. I would be too. So I think that's the issue.
Yeah, agree.
Well, the NCAA has been completely kneecapped and they have no power or influence whatsoever. But anyway, that's for another day. Jake, fantastic conversation. Thanks for joining the Common Fan. It's awesome to hang out with you, man.
Yeah, hit me up. I'll join you guys later in the future for sure. I'd love to come back on with you guys.
Awesome.
We would love that. We would love that. Where are you going to be this weekend?
Purdue, Michigan in Ann Arbor. Yep.
All right.
If you're on Fox, you ever get in touch with Tim Brando?
I've cross paths with him. Yeah. And Devin Gardner is his color analyst. He did one of your games, Nebraska, Michigan State. They did. Yeah. Minnesota, Nebraska.
He's a friend of the program. He's been on.
Okay, cool.
If you see him again, you tell him the Common Fan say hello.
Sounds good. I will.
Like yourself, Jake. He's a friend of the program.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Honored to say so. Yes.
All right. Thanks so much to Jake Butt of the Big Ten Network for joining us. Hey, Common Fans, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you after the USC game. Excuse me. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.